We hope you enjoy this recording of Birth Talk, Overview of Stages of Labour, with Fiona Ray, lactation consultant, breastfeeding counsellor and doula, and Sarah McCann, midwife and antenatal educator at QIDU, the Irish Childbirth Trust, recorded at Baby Talk Festival 2014. For more information and talks, visit babytalkfestival.ie.
Hi, as he says, my name is Fiona, this is Sarah. We're both involved with QIDU, which is the Irish Childbirth Trust. Our information stand is downstairs just as you come in the door. We're hopping on people. So it's a parent-to-parent organisation. It's all support, whatever stage of pregnancy you're at, postnatal, prenatal. We do antenatal classes, we do breastfeeding support. And it's run by mothers, and it's for families. So regardless of what way you choose to feed your babies, QIDU is a support network for you. And it's always good to have those numbers before baby arrives so that, you know, if something arises that you feel you need support with, you've already got your numbers. Sarah is a midwife also in the Rotunda. So, as he says, if any babies start crying, don't panic. You'll be grand. So what we're going to touch on today really is pre-labour signs and when to go to hospital, the stages of labour, and we'll just have a quick overview of all those things, and pain relief while you're at home and then when you head into hospital. We don't have a huge amount of time, but it'll just be a taste of what you would get from an antenatal class. So if we just start with the pre-labour signs, you know, which would lead us to when to go to hospital, and very commonly the first sign that anything is happening really for most mums would be a show. And a show can be at any stage, up to 2 weeks perhaps before baby makes any appearance. So it's something not to be alarmed at, but it's certainly something to remark upon, you know, that things are happening. The cervix is starting to soften, that plug of mucus is coming away that is giving protection to baby. So it would be something just to, you know, keep an eye on and perhaps cancel any plans that involve you going too far away from home. And start to prepare. Certainly have your bag packed at that stage. Another pre-labour sign would be what we call lightening. And you may, I don't know what stages of pregnancy, there's certainly lovely shapes and sizes coming in the door there. I don't know what stages you're all at. But there will be times when someone, you know, close by to you will say, you know, your bump has dropped quite a bit. And that's what we describe as lightening, where the baby falls, you know, the head becomes engaged, baby falls further down into the pelvis. Your breathing becomes that little bit easier, but on the downside, you're in and out of the loo doubly to what you already are, so your toilet becomes your companion for quite a while. So that's another true sign that things are happening. You know, baby's moving down, getting ready for the journey ahead. Another sign then would be nesting. So I don't know whether any of you ladies are nesting. I'm sure you gentlemen are being forced to nest, whether you want to or not. Things suddenly need doing, and you're getting rooms ready and painting things you never thought needed painting, and you're doing what you're told because there's a hormonally led woman living with you, not the woman that you got together with initially. So nesting is really a true sign that things are happening. You know, we sort of gather and get things ready for baby coming. We like to be ready. And we certainly see it with mums that we would deal with. Mums often decide, I'm not going into labour yet. I'm not ready. So it's only when we have everything ready, when we're really peaceful, that, you know, things are all set, that oftentimes, you know, labour doesn't start until we feel 100% ready. Another true sign that labour is certainly imminent would be diarrhoea. You know, we would have certainly, they don't do it anymore in the hospitals, but they used to use enemas, you know, certainly when our parents would have been having babies. They don't do that anymore, but our body oftentimes will naturally clear out its system to make room for baby. Baby's coming down past the bladder and the bowel, so the more room, you know, that baby has, the better. So diarrhoea would be a certain sign that things, so you would hear about people who are going a little overdue and things that they're encouraged to do to make labour start, and spicy foods would be one of those things, and that really, you know, is helping to induce that little bit of diarrhoea, just to clear out the system, make a little bit more room for baby to come down. Braxton Hicks contractions would be another good sign. First time mums don't tend to feel them quite as strongly as, you know, second, third pregnancies, but you can be sure it's happening. So I don't know whether any of you are aware of it at the moment. You know, the uterus practicing the contractions, and these are Braxton Hicks. So your tummy might tighten up like a drum, and then after a little while it just, you know, relaxes again. And that's your uterus just getting into gear for things happening. And that can happen from about 20 weeks on. But as I say, not always felt by a first-time mom. But that is things starting to happen as well. Waters breaking would be, you know, a pretty good indicator that things are pretty imminent. And waters can go in two ways. So they can go in a trickle or they can go in a gush. Either way, it would be important to get in touch with the hospital, let them know what's happening if you're having a hospital birth. If you're having a home birth, contact your midwife, let her know what's happening. The hospitals like to have you in within 24 hours at this stage.
Well, when your waters break, though, you have to go in regardless. They may send you home again, but they want you in just to check that everything's all right. And obviously they're afraid because of infection, so they'll talk to you about signs of infection and that. And if you're living close by, they'll send you home again if nothing else is happening, and instructed to come back in 24 hours.
Okay, so if the waters go in a gush, you can expect quite a considerable amount of waters. So there's about a litre to a litre and a half of fluid surrounding the baby. So, you know, you can expect to see quite a lot of fluid. If the baby's waters go in a trickle, what can sometimes happen is, say you're lying down and, you know, you've had a night in bed or whatever, or you're just resting and you get up. When you lie down, baby's head may move away a little bit. When you stand up again, baby's head may block, and a little bit of waters may come away, and you'll think, now, did I just not get where I was going on time, or is that waters? So a good idea is to put on a pad, lie down again for another little while, stand up again, and see what's happening. Either way, when the waters are gone, the waters are gone. So it's important, as Sarah says, that you would contact the hospital and go into the hospital.
It's a question that we get a lot of, you know, because the bladder is under big pressure. So a good indication would be if your pad is wet all of the time. So, you know, if the bladder has got a dig and you've had a bit of a leak, it'll just be that once off. Mm. Whereas if the pad is wet constantly,
you still haven't
that
you're becoming continent.
Yes.
But it's a good time to think about your pelvic floor exercises. If you ever want to trampoline with this lovely little baby that's coming, do your pelvic floor exercises from now. The one true sign that labour has started are the contractions. That is the only true sign that labour is in fact imminent. And, you know, really, if you're not already in hospital for whatever reason, the best place for you is at home at that stage. You're in your own environment, you're relaxed, unless your partner's out in the car with the engine going and revving it.
Come on!
You've time to calm him down, get him back inside, it's all right. And just, you know, when you're in your own environment and nicely relaxed, labour can take a hold nice and naturally. You're going to build up a nice way of dealing with your contractions as time goes on. So the calmer and more relaxed you can keep, the less intensity you will feel in those contractions as they build. So your own environment is the best for that. You've got, you know, whatever movies you may have saved for this time. You could get into bed. If you manage to sleep, fantastic. If you can't, well, then get up and moving and, you know, get things going. But what we would suggest for when to go to hospital very much would be when you're in a good pattern of contractions lasting for 1 minute, 5 minutes apart. Now, you may get that here and there, but you want to see that really established before you go anywhere. Most of us don't live too far from the hospital, so you've still got plenty of time to get in. When we go into the hospitals too early, often, you know, our endorphins kick in, the adrenaline kicks in, that fight or flight response takes hold, and things can go backwards a little bit. So if you're well and truly in those early stages of labour, there's very little that's going to slow that down. So contractions lasting a minute, 5 minutes apart, and a good pattern of that happening before you would head out the door for hospital.
A good pattern of an hour, you know.
At least an hour, yeah. And then you've got the car journey and, you know, all of that on the way, all that excitement. Drive faster! but, you know, there is no need to panic. We do, you know, first-time babies, you have plenty of time. I mean, you do hear stories of, you know, people arriving with a smidgen of time to spare, and that's okay. You know, that's all right. But let there be no panic. The more relaxed and calm you can be, the less effect those contractions are going to have on you. because you'll manage them so much better.
Yeah, and just, you know, we all hear in the media about a baby arriving on the dual carriageway. You know, those are so seldom, and even more seldom for first-time mums. You know, the uterus has never opened up before. It's just a slow process first time round. So don't feel that you're going to be that 0.05% that give birth, you know, like that. It's just very rare.
Okay, so Sarah is going to talk to you about the stages of labour. As I say, this is really just a quick overview of, you know, what will happen or could happen.
Yeah, yeah. Labour, okay, so we have to get our baby, your babies, are nice and cosy, warm inside in a sack with the fluid around them. And around that sack then is your uterus. And the neck of your uterus is really tightly closed at the moment, I hope. So the neck of the womb is called the cervix. And while we're pregnant, it's really tightly closed. It's hard. It's about 2.5 centimetres thick. So it's about the thickness of my fist. And it's towards our back. So in the first stage of labour, the cervix, the neck of the womb, has to open up, obviously. So that will be the first physical sign of that the woman is going into labour. Okay? So the cervix thins out first and starts to open up, and that's when we get the show that Fiona talked about, the mucus plug. And the outwardly, the woman is, you wouldn't see a whole heap of difference with the woman. As you see with this woman here, sorry, can I go with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
This woman is Sue. She's actually in the first stage of labour, believe it or not. All right. She's at home where she should be. She's stocking up on good food. She went out for a walk with a bit more clothes on than that. And she's hoping to get some rest now. And she's with her partner there. He's supporting her. And she's where she should be, letting the hormones do their job. So Fiona mentioned adrenaline. We don't want adrenaline in the first stage of labour. We want that gone. We want to be relaxed. We want to let our body do its thing. What we want to flow is oxytocin. Oxytocin is a hormone that causes the uterus to squeeze, and it is the hormone that we produce when we are feeling warm, loved and secure. All right? It's what got the baby in there. It was oxytocin flowing. And it's what gets the baby out, okay? So if you can recreate that, the atmosphere that got the baby in there, you'll have the right atmosphere to get the baby out. So relaxation, eating good food, getting some rest, and staying home as long as you are comfortable with. If you start to get distressed, maybe you could call the hospital, talk to a midwife there, because she can tell by your voice if you're saying to her, I'm having a contraction now, it's really terrible. You know, she says, stay at home. she'll nicely suggest, well, maybe a bath might be an idea for you now. Give us a call again in an hour or two, you know. So if sometimes a partner actually calls and the midwife will say, could you put the woman onto me, please? And if the man says to the midwife, she can't talk at the moment, she's in the middle of a contraction, then the midwife can say, okay, I think maybe you need to come on into us. Because, see, with this woman, she's still in the first stage of labour and she's at home. She has a friend with her. And she is going through a contraction and she's seriously concentrating on that contraction. And that, I would think, looking at that woman, is a time when she needs to go into the hospital. Her partner can be talking to her and she can't hear him. She's focusing on her contraction. She's getting through it, using her breathing to get through it. So this is the stage where the cervix has opened up to maybe about 3 centimetres. Your body is working hard and she's having to focus on that to get through the contraction. Body working hard, time to get into the hospital. All right? Okay, from first stage then, when you've reached the magic 10 centimetres, or when you've, sorry, about 8 centimetres, a woman can experience transition where the uterus has been working on pulling back, opening up the cervix to 10 centimetres, and now it's changing its job it's going to start pushing the baby out. And at this stage, the body is changing its job, and the woman can start to get a bit overwhelmed. And I've heard women say, where are my slippers? I want to go home. Another woman was, you have this baby for me. And I heard another midwife saying that a woman who was looking to have a natural birth was saying, I want a cesarean. So her emotions were totally changed. She was upside down. She was overwhelmed because the contractions were coming hard and fast. Okay, so that's just at the end of first stage where the body is finishing opening up and it goes into second stage where it's going to start pushing baby out, all right? So just to summarise first stage then, we have the woman in the early stages of the labour, the latent phase is what you might hear it called in the hospital. She's excited, she's at the fridge, she's eating, she's relaxing at home, and her contractions are about 40 seconds long. Next stage then, the woman is seriously concentrating. Her contractions are about 60 seconds long, and it might be time for her to go into the hospital at that stage. Again, that's a very personal thing, and I'm sure that all of you know women and have heard their stories, and they're all very different. Labour for us all is different, and the time for us to go into hospital is very different. But the hospital will instruct women, stay home until your contractions are 60 seconds long, in that pattern for an hour, and coming every 5 minutes for 60 seconds. And then self-doubt, the contractions are 90 seconds long. The woman doesn't have a whole heap of time to recover between contractions, and that's when she's overwhelmed, when things are, have this baby for me. So that's just a summary of the first stage. And then we go into second stage. All right, so I especially picked this picture. It wouldn't be a picture we would regularly see for labour. Definitely not in the hospital. They're all on their backs. Definitely not on TV. All right? And why this woman is in this position is really, really clear when you look at the pelvis. Okay, so when we're sitting on our bums or even semi-reclining, half lying against pillows, you can see the outlet of the pelvis. Okay? If the lady turns around, her coccyx has freedom to move, okay, and she opens her pelvis by 27% more, giving the baby a lot more room to get out. Okay. Also, when you look at the pelvis here, if you're lying on your back or semi-recumbent, the baby has to come up before it can come out. All right. Whereas when you're in a position like this, you've got gravity assisting you for a baby just to come out like this. So this is why I picked this picture, where the uterus is pushing baby out and the woman will be pushing baby out, and she has the baby helping her as well. It does do a bit of work, and gravity. So she's got some assistance when she's in this position along with her midwife and her partner. Okay? So that's second stage. Baby's born. Okay? And anytime I show this picture, people are always amazed at the cord in it. That normally the picture they'll see is of a flat cord, whereas this baby has just been born and the mother's blood with the oxygen is still coming to the baby. Okay? So we still have to go into the third stage of labour now, because labour isn't... I remember when I was a student, I congratulated a midwife saying, you know, the mother and the midwife, and she said, no, never congratulate a midwife until the placenta is born and the bleeding has stopped. Or not stopped, but controlled, because that is at the end of third stage. The placenta will be born and the bleeding has been controlled. So this baby born and put skin to skin with the mum, we'll dry it off quickly and put it skin to skin with the mum, because babies can't control their own body temperature initially. So the mum is able to do that. And well, it's not policy in the hospitals yet, but is research-based, is leaving the cord to pulsate for between 1 and 3 minutes. If we clamp and cut the cord immediately, some of the baby's blood is left in the placenta. Actually, it's, you know, in an 8-pound baby, there is 450 mils of blood, which will be shown in this bottle here. So that would be equivalent to our whatever 2.5 litres of blood we have. I forget what we have. But anyway, baby has 450 mils of blood, all right? If the cord is clamped and cut immediately, the baby has only got 300 mils in its system at the time. Now, you or I were to have a third of our blood taken from us, we'd go into shock. Okay? So research is now saying that if you leave the cord to pulsate for between 1 and 3 minutes, just leave it on the abdomen with the mum, that the other 150 mils that is due to the baby will be pumped into the baby, along with oxygen. So giving the mum that, giving the baby a safety net to get oxygen as it gets its breathing system up and going when it's born. All right? So I would encourage you to look into delayed cord clamping and saying, you know, I want 3 minutes with my cord, the cord unclamped, so the baby can get its blood. Plus,
can you request that at the hospital?
Yeah. Plus, the placenta is smaller. It's 150 mils smaller, so easier for us to deliver. Makes
it's
a lot of sense.
Something to talk about before you go in, you know, with your caregivers, so that they're aware that that's something that you would be working towards.
Right into your birth plan.
It's only possible if you've had no medical intervention, though, in the labour.
No, it's not. No,
they still will.
Yeah, for 3 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, you know, with big institutions, just things don't kick in. You know, take a while to take hold. So you just need to ask for it, and it's research-based, so they'll do it, but just it has to be asked for. Okay.
Okay.
Well, now we've got the good Fiona.
So talking of pain relief, what do we think of when we hear pain relief in labour? What automatically comes to mind?
Epidural.
Yeah. Anything else? Any other? Anything else? So, you know, that would be kind of upwards in our minds. But remembering what we said earlier about staying at home for as long as you can, there's lots and lots of things that you can do at home to help ease the pain. You know, it doesn't have to get to the stage where you're completely overwhelmed by it. You can deal with it as it's building slowly at home. There's ways of dealing with what's going on. So we would talk about movement. So we would talk about moving around a lot. And as Sarah was explaining with the pelvis, do you know, we have so much more room when we're upright. We talk about being upright, forward and mobile. So, you know, if you're on the birth ball at home and you're rotating your hips, that's helping you get through contractions. If you've got a pillow on your countertop and you lean forward and rotate your hips, you know, as you're going through a contraction, each one, as you're dealing with it, if you learn how to cope with it, as time goes on, you can build up your coping mechanisms and use something different then as time goes along. Heat being really good. We would talk about, even in the hospitals, using some sort of heat. So, you know, whether it's a heat pad or whether it's a hot water bottle, you know, something that you can have really good and hot. And as you're experiencing your contraction, get your birth partner to really put a lot of pressure on pushing the heat into the area where you're feeling the discomfort. And that can really help you get through the contraction. Water is also another good way to deal with any sort of difficulty with the contraction. If your waters have broken, it's not encouraged that you go into the bath. But certainly the shower would be a good option. And allowing the heat to flow on the area where you're feeling the most discomfort as well. Water is really a good way to get through a lot of the time at home. Movement, as I say, lots of rocking, lots of slow dancing with your partner. All the things you're not going to be able to do for a few weeks after that, because baby's going to see that you want time together and decide, this is when I want you. So all of those things that you possibly won't get a chance to do otherwise. Massage, so, you know, have some massage oil, or this is just simply two tennis balls in a sock. Really, really strong rubbing up along the spine at the area where you feel the most pain can be really, really good. You know, so it's counter pressure all the time. Dads need to look after themselves, though, at that point. You know, if mom is feeling really benefit from something you're doing, make sure you're in a good, comfortable position, because you could be doing it for a very long time. And I guarantee you, when mom is getting, when she's loving it, she's loving it. But all of a sudden, she's not going to love it and not going to want it anymore. So you're going to think, what have I done? She was enjoying that. So it's about having a lot of tools in your arsenal. You know, having a toolkit of things that perhaps you would like at home. So practice now, as time goes on, practice different positions, practice different things so that you have a good idea of what you might like in labour. There's another crowd downstairs. All the alternative remedies are good as well. There's lots of homeopathic remedies. Now, I don't know a huge amount about them, but there's lots of information downstairs on one of the stands. There's kits you can get for labour, and they can deal with all sorts of things that might be going on. It doesn't have to be hit with full-on pain relief from the start. If you've got a way of coping as time goes on, movement, water, heat, massage, relaxation, hypnobirthing, all these things are not to be dismissed as ways of getting you through that early stage of labour. TENS machines, really good for the time between going from home to hospital, are even good for while you're at home. I hear very mixed reviews, 50-50. You know, some people find them fantastic. Some people find them an annoyance. So it just depends on what you feel like in labour. This time around you may like it, next time around you may not like it. So it is a matter of trial and error. Some of them have, you know, psychologically I think this one is great. It has a boost button. So when you get hit the top of the contraction, you know, you can boost it and you feel like you're doing that little bit more to help towards what's going on. So it really is a matter of finding what suits you. But while you're at home, you can do an awful lot more than people might think to help with what's going on. When we head into hospital then, obviously our choices are increased. There's gas and air. The Entonox is available to everybody. So it is certainly a good place to start. It's beside each bed. They don't use masks anymore. They use a mouthpiece and, you know, the tube is into the wall. And it's there, freely available for everybody. Well, the lady.
Not the dads.
Birth, the dads all will try it, but it is for the woman. And it's a good idea when you're there to ask the midwife, how to use it properly. Some moms overuse it and find that it doesn't agree with them then because they've got... It's that wondering too many, not that I'd know, but Sarah describes it to me.
That wondering such a lie.
Too many at a party. You know, where the room starts spinning. But you put the mouthpiece on top of your tongue, close your mouth, you breathe in and out without removing it from your mouth. So physically it's something to do, which is always good. You've got something to hold on to, you've something to bite onto. So it's a good tool to start with. And as I say, when the contraction is starting, you start breathing in, blowing out, breathing in, blowing out. And by the time you get to the peak of the contraction, the gas and air should be having its full effect. When you feel the contraction moving away again, you stop breathing it in and out. So that fuzzy feeling should clear with another few good intakes of oxygen. It has advantages to baby in that you're giving it plenty of fresh oxygen. And it's not complete pain relief, but it certainly does take the edge off. And like the TENS, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but it's certainly a good place to start. If you like it, if it agrees with you, you know, it can get you a good bit down the road with the labour.
Or all the way. You know,
yeah, lots of people. If you get in with not a lot of time to spare, fantastic. You know, you really would manage well with it. The epidural, then, you mentioned. The epidural is an injection into the spinal space. Some people would automatically assume, even at this stage, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have an epidural. You know, you hear so many people going into hospital with that in their mind. It's better to keep an open mind. See how you manage yourselves. It may not be something that you feel the need for. What it can do is help moms who are just not managing to relax enough to contract. It can help moms who have high blood pressure. You know, it can certainly help moms who have been in labour for a long time to relax and, you know, rest a little bit before the actual second stage happens. But it's not for everybody either, you know. We need an anaesthetist to administer it. So sometimes it can be a case of waiting. You know, if it's during the night, it can be a matter of waiting for them to come in. If it's during the day, they may be with another patient or they may be down in theatre. So, you know, it's a question of waiting for it at times. And it takes about 15 minutes to take effect once it is administered.
Fiona, all hospitals now have 24 hours anaesthetists, though.
Yeah, but they're not always available. I mean, I've been in as a doula, and, you know, some mums would have to wait. It's not instant.
Oh, no, I just thought you thought they might have to come in from Ranelagh.
No. It's not. He's not waiting by your bed for you to decide. Will you have an epidural, madam? It's not there with the menu. So we don't always get it instantly. But it's not something you should automatically think is something that you're going to use. You know, recovery afterwards is a lot easier if you've done it naturally. And I don't know what your intentions are now, but if that's the way you feel you might go, well, you know, keep that in your mind. There are options, but there's no reason at this stage why you shouldn't be thinking the natural way forward. Pethidine would be the other method of pain relief. Maybe Sarah might like to tell you about pethidine.
Okay, well, it's an injection. It takes about 20 minutes to work, and it would work for 2 to 3 hours. It would have, you'd have to be monitored afterwards because it can make the baby sleepy while it's even still in your womb. So you're monitored when you get it. Women would report it not being a great form of pain relief. It's a sedative that will, you get to sleep, but it would give you that dizzy, drunk feeling that Fiona knows so well. So that's just what women would report back. And it, if it's given too close to birth, it can have that sleepy effect on the baby. And occasionally, we'd have to give an antidote to it because the baby breathing would be sedated. So we'd have to give it another drug to bring it back up again. And no matter when it's given, it impacts on breastfeeding. So for 5 days afterwards. So.
But I suppose the main message that we would try and give you is to be as informed as you can be for all your choices in birth. If you have all the information of everything that's available to you and all the ways forward, you can then make an informed choice as to what you do when it comes to your birth. And then, you know, hopefully get what it is that you're looking for and that you're happy.